I would like to start in on a series, and this series is out of Matthew chapter 5.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Well, this morning, I want you to pray as we get ready to start into the Word that the Lord has given. Father, thank you so much. It's been good to be in your house already. We thank you for the good things that you've done. We thank you for the healing that you have done in Philip and Aaron. And I could name names all the way down, Lord. I thank you for that. There is nothing too difficult for you. So have your way in the service. Anoint your servant. Anoint your word that it would minister to us in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen and amen. This morning, I would like to start in on a series. And this series is out of Matthew chapter 5. And Matthew chapter 5 is packed with so many things that I cannot get through it in one Sunday. So Matthew chapter 5, this is part 1. And the whole sermon series will just be Matthew chapter 5. But today, I want to read Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 1. Seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men will revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake." This morning, this part 5 is obtaining God's blessing. How many of you want God's blessing? Now, our sister talked about the favor of God, and see, Laura, she got it too, right? Anybody that loves Jesus is going to get the favor of God. But today, how many of us truly want to obtain God's blessing? Now, after we go through these, you may have to question yourself, do you really want these blessings? Because the blessing of God is spelled out right here for us in these 9 qualities that God says that if we have these, that we obtain God's favor. And so oftentimes we want the favor, or we want God, yes, I want that, but I don't want to do what it takes to get it. Tucker, what's your dream car? A Lamborghini. The young man has high aspirations. But it's okay. Now the question is, how are you going to get that Lamborghini? Dad going to buy it for you? You may have to do some things to get there finally. Because I'm not sure Dad's going to buy you a Lamborghini because he didn't buy your sister a Lamborghini. Right?
That's the reason.
Right? But to get there, to that, sometimes we're not willing to do what it takes to get there. So many times, Christians struggle to try to please God and say, why can't I be blessed like some others are blessed? Well, you know, the Word of God is very, very clear with this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. How many of you have memorized that verse? How many of you can quote the verse? You better say yes, because it's up on the screen right now. Okay? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All right. So if you want the blessings of God, or you want the blessing as a whole from what Jesus was talking about here, we have to diligently seek him. We have to diligently make these things that we're about to talk about a part of our lives. In other words, we can't just say, by osmosis, they're just going to come upon me. Right? I mean, some people think that they can take this Bible and pour some water on it and go, oh, 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 and there it is, I got it. Because you can know this Bible and still not have the blessing of God. Because the Bible says even the demons know the Word of God. Satan knows the Word of God. You think he's blessed? So it has to do with this becoming a part of our lives and diligently listening to the words that Jesus has put before us and doing these words. Now, yes, it is important. All of this is God's Word. But these letters and these words that Jesus himself spoke, do you think they're important, don't they? They really are. Because if we're going to be a Christian, that means we have to be Christ-like. And if this was his teaching that he put out there for us, he is asking us as his disciples to be able to do this. So is it possible that we can do this? Why would he put this here if it wasn't possible for us to do this? So in this first portion, and I told Rick, I said, I'm really hoping to be able to get through all nine of these qualities that we're going to talk about here today. So if I get off, somebody, Barb, just yell at me and say, come on, get back on track here, okay? All right? Yeah, Barb says that's not going to happen, right? So, all right. So these nine qualities, if we seek after them, and listen, here's the word that I want you to get, and conform to. Because these are not things that are natural for us. We have to conform ourselves to that. So if we do this and we listen and we do them and conform ourselves to them, then the blessings of God will actually come upon you. How do we know this? Look over at Romans chapter 12. I want to look at just a couple scriptures here. Romans chapter 12. Hold your place there in Matthew chapter 4. Romans chapter 12. And here's what he says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me that every man among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. How many of you have a measure of faith? Let me say that again. How many of you have a measure of faith? Are you human? Then you have a measure of faith that God has given to you. Now, from there, you build on that. And you let that faith increase. But we are to conform to what Jesus says here. Now, jump back with me again. Hold your finger, put something here in Matthew, but jump back to Deuteronomy. And this is actually one of my favorites when it comes to the blessings of God. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And listen to this. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearkenly diligent, be diligent to the voice of the Lord, and to observe all of His commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. All right. Now, I love the picturing of that, Betty, because not only will the blessings of the Lord come upon you, but they will overtake you. It kind of goes like this. I'm going to move my podium here for just a minute. Dante, you're sitting on the front row. Thank you for volunteering to help me out here, okay? Okay. All right. Now, Dante's the blessing. He's the blessing, right, Landa? Landon? Not Landa. Landon, she's like, I know you, okay? He's the blessing. Now, this, according to what we just read, said that not only will you have the blessing, but the blessing will overtake you. All right? Now, I know what you did several years ago on that football field, okay? So I want to see if you can overtake me, all right? You don't have to throw me down, okay? Just see if you can get me. You ready? One, two, three, go. Man, that didn't last long. All right, stay there for a minute. You're supposed to overtake me here, okay? Ready, go. All right. All right. You know, that means that you cannot get away from the blessing. Think about him going after me, right? The blessing is not going to let you go. It's just going to chase you down. How many of you want that? You know, so many people are chasing the blessing, trying to get the blessing. But God says, if you'll hearken diligently to these words, then it's going to chase you down. You're not going to be able to get away from it all the days of your life. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting to me. You know, how many of you are so blessed you can't stand it? And it almost to the point where you're like, you know, please don't bless me anymore, right? But God's going to say, I'm ignoring that because you're doing what you're supposed to. I'm going to bless you. It's kind of like when Skip goes fishing, he catches so many fish that he says, I'm tired of catching fish. Right? Hallelujah. Where was I? Barb, you're supposed to keep me on track here, okay? All right. So the blessings of God will overtake you. And then he goes on, you're going to be blessed in the city, you're going to be blessed in the field, the fruit of your body is going to be blessed, the fruit of your cattle, your increase, you're going to be blessed and your basket will be full. Blessed shall thou be, verse 6, when you come in and blessed when you go out. It is true. Now, I have learned this over the last 5 years or so, that every time that somebody asks me how I'm doing, you know what I tell them? I am blessed. I am truly blessed. Because the blessings of God just continue to come. Young people, listen to me. You want the blessings of God, Tucker? Abby, you want the blessings of God? Caleb, you want the blessings of God? Who else is young in here? Sister Joyce. Yes. Betty raised her hand, right? Larry, you want the blessings of God? Yes. These blessings will overtake you. Let's look at these qualities here. Okay, I gotta keep myself reeled in here. All right, going back again to Matthew chapter 5. All right, I'm gonna get there. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 3. Here's the 9 qualities we're gonna get into them, right? Get over in chapter 5 there. All right. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So we're going to talk about the poor in spirit. Now, Jesus is most likely drawing from an Old Testament scripture. And that's back in Isaiah chapter 66. And I believe Rick has that one on the screen. So I'm going to show this to you. Isaiah 66. Did I give that to you? Yes, I did. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of rest? All these things has my hand made, and those things have made, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Now what does God say he's going to do for that individual? He's going to look towards them. He's not going to take his eye off of them. The blessing will be there. So what does this mean? To have a poor spirit, or the individual that is poor in spirit. I'm going to break these down to you, and we're not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but I just need you to understand the qualities that God is asking us to have in order to be blessed. This is a person who sees themselves as needy and helpless without God. Now, if you're an individual that thinks that you do not need anyone, especially God, that you can do it on your own, you are not poor in spirit. Because this individual says that I need Jesus. I need God in my daily life. He helps me, and I can only survive by leaning on Him. Now, there's a lot of people in our world today that said, I don't need God. I can do it myself. And you know, there's a lot of people that are living with that and living saying, I don't need God. I can do it myself. But those particular individuals will never receive the blessing. It will never chase them down. Because they do not believe that they need God. Or they need His help. And I love this because these are individuals that we survive by leaning on God every day. Because what that really says is that His ways are better than my ways. He knows what He's doing. I don't. And you have people that will come to you and say, I cannot believe, you know, you use that Jesus stuff as a crutch. Anybody ever had someone tell them that? You use that Jesus stuff as a crutch. And a lot of people think that, man, that's really a cut. But when somebody, I've had people say that to me, and I say, thank you for recognizing that. Because I truly do. I need Him every day. Because I cannot do this life without Him. See, that's being poor in spirit. But if you have the other thing, where you think you don't need Jesus, immediately you're missing the blessing of God. Number 2, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those that mourn. Now, the word here means grieve. Now, that does not mean blessed are those that are constantly whining and complaining and just, oh, I'm so sad. I'm so sad over everything. I'm just so sad over the condition of the world. I'm just so sad. That is not what this is talking about. Blessed are those who mourn, for theirs, if we look at that, for they shall be comforted. What this basically means is those who grieve, especially to grieve over evil or over sinfulness. How many of us grieve over the conditions of our own heart? Or how many of you think your heart is perfect? I'm really glad nobody raised their hands. Because the scriptures say that the heart of man is desperately wicked. We're born into sinfulness. So this grieving has to do with the things that go on in my mind and or the sins that I do. How many of you are grieved when you sin? And some of the thoughts that go through your minds. We should be, because this is the ones that mourn, and that we will repent over the things that go through our minds. If we are thinking, well, you know, that's not too bad, everybody else thinks that way, you're missing the blessing of God here. Because we need to look inside, and it doesn't matter who you are. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how long you've known Jesus. You're going to have some bad thoughts. Anybody have some bad thoughts recently? Yeah? How many of you had a bad thought this morning? One person? Two? Three? Four? All right. You were thinking bad about me, weren't you? Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. Blessed are those whenever we have... Listen, you have something that the Holy Spirit convicts you of? Grieve about that. And apologize and repent before the Lord and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Because those that do not grieve over their sins, there's no blessing. There's no blessing there for them. Listen, 1 John chapter 1, jump over there with me. We've been studying 1 John on Wednesday night. Again, like to have you come. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the truth of His word is not in us. So those that do not mourn over their sin, and you may know some of those, there's no blessing of God there. But I pray for each one of us in this house and those that are part of this congregation that the Holy Spirit would convict you each time that you sin against God. And you say, thanks so much, Pastor, for praying that. But I pray that because whom the Lord loves, He chastens and He convicts. And He loves it when we will grieve over that and repent of the sin. Amen? Let's continue on. Verse 5. Blessed are those who are what? Meek, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that word meek there, a lot of times people have no idea what the word meek means. First thing that I want to tell you is that meek does not mean weak. A lot of people think that being meek means that, oh, I'm just going to shrivel back here and just be weak. That is not what the word means. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. That word meek means mild or humble. Now check this out. Having the right or the power to do something, but refraining for the benefit of another person. You have the right or the authority to do something to someone else because of something they have done to you, but you refrain from that. You see, that's called being meek. It's not weak. Because how many of you know that in Christ we have authority? We have authority. And many of the people of God in the Old Testament, how many of you believe that Moses had authority? I mean, look how many people he was over, right? But then when you look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, I'll just have Brother Rick put that up there. As far as God was concerned, Moses was what? The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. What a compliment, right? Moses had the authority in every situation to just say, you're done, and they die, right? I mean, the power of God to just, boom, gone. But he did not do that. Moses was a very meek man. Now, those that are put in positions of authority, this is so important. As a pastor, as a leader, as an elder, especially of the churches, you have authority. You have authority within the church, but meekness says that I will not exert that authority for the benefit of you growing in Christ. You know, one thing that I will say this, that this has irritated me ever since years and years ago that I heard this. There was a pastor that when he found out about someone's sin in the congregation, he would have them stand in the congregation and he would tell exactly what sin they did in that congregation. How many of you would like that? You probably wouldn't show back up at church the next week, would you? See, that's a misuse of authority and a misuse of power there with the pastor. Meekness needs to be shown here, folks. It's knowing power, but refraining from others. Moses did it, and we're called to do that as well. All right, next one. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, as much as our body wants food and water, how many of you like food? The rest of you are lying, right? How many of you have eaten this week? Caleb, you haven't eaten this week? Your mother's sitting right next to you, right? You haven't eaten this week. Now, all right, Abby. I'm going to give you a chance. Have you eaten this week? Praise God. Caleb? You're going to have a meeting with Mom and Dad today, all right? Getting. Okay. This hungering and thirsting. You know, as much as we need to have food, and how many of your stomachs are growling right now? Thank you, Betty. She's like, please hurry up, you know. In the back. Thank you, Shaw. Right? Yeah. Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? In other words, what is that? What does it mean to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Doing right things in God's eyes. And Micah 6:8 talks about this, and I'm going to bring this up in the next one too. These things have I required of you, saith the Lord, right? That you do what? What? Justly. That means doing the right thing. How many of us hunger and thirst? I've got to do the right thing. I cannot just half do this. I've got to do the right thing, what God wants me to do. That's what God looks at and he says, that's my heart. Psalm 63 verse 1. That's the heart of God. Is it our heart to do his will? I mean, how many of us say, I can't wait for lunch? Or maybe dinner's your favorite meal. I can't wait for dinner. How many of you like steak on a grill? All right. Well, let's say today you're having steak on the grill. Tucker's like, don't go there. Don't go there. And you start to think, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to that stake. What about this? David said, I'll seek you early in the morning, right? My soul thirsts for you. I'm hungry for you, God. I am hungry to do what you want me to do. How many of us have that? God, I want to do only what you want me to do, and that's it. I pray that God would pour that into us, because there's a blessing that comes there. The hunger and thirst after righteousness. The next one says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Again, in Micah 6:8. What does God say about mercy? Come on, somebody tell me. Love mercy. I'm going to just tell you this. You know what mercy means? Anybody have a clue what mercy means? Or hold back what someone else deserves. In other words, not giving somebody what they deserve. Dante comes up here. He hits me. What does he deserve? Come on, you guys are being too spiritual here, right? Slap him back. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Knock mine out, I'm knocking yours out. Right? But mercy says, I'm not going to give him what he deserves. See, we're to love that. And that's what he says, that we are to be ones who are merciful, not giving to others what they actually deserve, but giving them forgiveness, giving them forbearance, and giving them love. How many of us have a hard time with that? Because we want to give them what they deserve, right, Skip? But remember this. As soon as you give them what they deserve, the blessing of God is withheld from you. I want you to think about that with all of these things. We say we want the blessing of God, but then when someone does something to us, we want to give them back what they did to us. And then immediately when we do that, the blessing of God withdraws. Instead of chasing you down, Dante saying, see ya. And you're saying, wait, come back. I want to do both. I want to give them what they did, but I want that too. It doesn't work that way. Because the blessing will retreat. Just as much as it will chase you down, it will retreat when you decide you're not going to keep these. Blessed are the pure in heart, verse 8. For they shall see God. What does that mean? The pure in heart. It refers to your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know what pureness means? There's nothing defiling in there. How many of you have had pure maple syrup? What's in there? Pastor, please quit talking about food, right? Pure maple syrup means there's nothing in there except the sap. Our question here when it comes to this, do you have a pure heart? It refers to your mind, your will, your emotions. Where are they set? Are they set towards God and God only? Or is your heart split? Here's the thing. Having a pure heart means that Jesus is expecting you to be sold out 100%. you know, Pastor, that's just so hard to do. I can give God 85%, but I got to do the rest. You know, there's things I want to do. Where'd the blessing go? Where'd you go? That way, right? Not chasing me down. You want God's blessings, you have to give Him 100% of you. There's no substitute. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and this is very, very difficult as far as what Jesus expects, but, you know, it is what it is. Jesus said, any man that puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God. He's expecting 100% of us for 100% of our lives. We just can't say, well, you know, I'm going to serve him, Janet, till I'm 80, and then after that, woo, I'm going to do my thing. It doesn't work that way. Pastor, you can't say, well, I'm going to be a pastor only until I'm 50, after, and then I'm done with it. You guess he could, but what would happen to the blessing? It'd run the other way. Because Jesus is expecting 100%. Pure in heart. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, we get different ideas when this comes, because some of you are always the one when a fight starts up, you want to be the one in the middle. It'll be okay. You guys cool it. You know, just, and you think that's a peacemaker, right? Well, this word actually has to do with those who bring peace or reconciliation to other people. Let me ask you this. What brings peace into a person's life? Christ does. So Jesus is saying, blessed are the ones that bring Christ into others' lives. There is a huge blessing here, folks, when you are bringing Jesus to someone else. When you are sharing your faith. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know all the scriptures like you do. I'm not eloquent. You don't have to be. All you have to do is say, here's my life. Look at my life, how much God has done for me. And I want that for you too. That's being a peacemaker. That's bringing the gospel to others. Isaiah 52, verse 7. And again, this is a great scripture because it talks about how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news and tidings. Now, my question is, how many of you have beautiful feet? You got beautiful feet? How many of you have beautiful feet? We got a couple more. I'm going to ask you this one more time. How many of you have beautiful feet? If you are bringing the gospel in one way or another, or sharing it with someone else at any point in your life, you are the ones that have beautiful feet because you're bringing good news to someone else. I'm not talking about your physical feet. I'm talking about your feet that bring this good news. You are a peacemaker. That's what that means. The last two go together in verse 10 and 11. Blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm okay with all those other ones that you said, but I'm not okay with people persecuting me. You know, the very first one there in verse 10, you're willing to suffer for Jesus. That's being persecuted. Actual physical suffering. The next verse says that you are being reviled. That means that people are using their mouth against you. So in either way, The Bible says that we are blessed if people will do that against us. It doesn't feel like blessing, does it? But I want you to remember that the blessing of God will chase you down when you endure persecution physically and or verbally for Jesus. The blessing of God will be there. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I will close with Peter because 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is He that will harm you if you are followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." Should we be afraid of people reviling us or persecuting us? People say, "I don't want to go there, Pastor." Well, listen to me. In the world that we live in today, if you're going to stand for Jesus, and if you're going to stand for this word, people are going to talk about you. Let me ask our high school graduates. You here in this in school? Are you here in the office of this in school? Yeah. Yeah. So to be able to stand up against that, others will make fun and others will persecute, and as time goes on, I think persecution and reviling will continue more and more. But who is that that is able to hurt you? No one. This morning, Jesus has specifically told us how we are to obtain those blessings. My question is, do you want the blessings running from you? Or do you want them catching you and overtaking you? This is how it's done. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you so much. And I pray, Lord, we know that we cannot do this on our own. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit and we need your help that will work in our lives because we really do want to do what your word says. And Father, I pray for your anointing and your help upon each one, Lord. As we go through this life and as we go through the things that are so much upon us right now and the things that are so contrary to your word that are being so widespread in the world today, Lord, that we would stand firm and obtain your blessings. We'll thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.